Welcome to the Chinwag Live podcast. Chinwag is an online community for digital marketing professionals, and Chinwag Live is our regular event series established to cast light on trends across the digital media industries. You can find out more information about Chinwag Live on our website, live.chinwag.com. This podcast was recorded at the inaugural Chinwag Live event, Wobble 2.0, on Tuesday the 6th of February 2007 in London. The event was sponsored by Exchange Team, a growing force in digital recruitment. More details about them can be found on their website at www.exchangeteam.com. That's www.xchangeteam.com. This portion of the podcast features Dave Nicholson from Zopa.
Thank you, Mike. Good evening, all. I think a little naked out here without a PowerPoint presentation behind me. This is very unusual, so I'm going to try and cover my modesty with a few bullet points and a piece of paper. I wanted to start off with just introducing Zopa to people, because I suspect a lot of you won't have heard of Zopa. So a little bit about what Zopa is. Zopa is the first lending and borrowing exchange. And what that means is we take people who've got money that they want to lend and connect them up with people who want to borrow money and let the two of them make a transaction in the middle. And because we're cutting out the banks by doing that, both sides benefit. So one way of thinking about it is it's an eBay for money. That's often how we've been described. We started a couple of years ago in the UK. We've got now 125,000 members in the UK. We've had thousands and thousands of people lend money and thousands of people borrow money. We're looking to launch in the US this year, hopefully, fingers crossed, touch wood, although we said that last year as well. And we're also looking to franchise our business into at least two other countries over the next 12 months. So the model, revolutionary as it is, appears to be working, which is quite delightful because we weren't sure about it when we launched 2 years ago. The Zopa business model, which Deirdre asked me to speak a little bit about, is very simple. So basically we charge both lenders and borrowers a small fee for making the transaction. Borrowers, we charge 0.5% of the amount of money they borrow when they take the loan out. And lenders, we charge 0.5%, sort of an ongoing annual management fee. We also charge both lenders and borrowers, or sorry, we offer to sell to both lenders and borrowers insurance products. So if you're a borrower as part of your loan application, we'll try and sell you an insurance to protect against you losing your job or becoming sick and not being able to repay your loan. For lenders, we're about to introduce an insurance product that means your capital's guaranteed. So if you lend out £10,000 through the Zopa platform, you're guaranteed to get £10,000 back again. The advantage for lenders is it really puts them in control of their money. So as a lender, you get to choose who you want to lend to. So you can choose to lend to very safe people at one end of the spectrum or pretty risky people at the other end of the spectrum. And you can set your rate accordingly to who you're lending to. So actually, as a return, you're getting a good return on your money, much better than you get from putting the money into a bank. Why is that a sustainable business model? Why couldn't somebody else come along and copy it? In fact, why couldn't the banks come along and copy it? Well, there's a few reasons for that. We've got a fundamental advantage over the banks. So sort of short tangent into banking theory, unfortunately. I do apologize. When a bank makes a loan, it has to keep a little bit of money to one side, just in case all of the people it's lent money to run off to Brazil and don't pay their money back. That's a cost to the bank. It's called a cost of capital. We don't have that. So Zopa has a really fundamental business model advantage over every bank in the world because our lenders don't have to have that cost of capital. Now, on a typical loan from a bank, that means that our borrowing rate is about 1% less in sort of interest rate terms than any bank can offer. So we've got a really sustainable competitive advantage against every bank out there. Now, that doesn't answer the question about why somebody else couldn't come and create another Zopa. Why do I think we've got a sustainable business model against other Zopas? Well, I think there's something of a network effect going on. So when eBay launched, their recipe for success was find the people who are selling stuff and the buyers will come. So if you've got a lot of listings, then that's where the buyers are going to go and look for their stuff. Now, our version of that is, actually, if you can find the borrowers, the lenders will come. So we're trying to build up a network effect within the Zopa model where by having large numbers of borrowers on the system, actually, that's the place that lenders go to lend their money. Now, that, if we can get that working, and if we have enough people in that system, that creates quite a barrier to entry to anybody else coming in and trying to do the same thing that we've done. Against banks, again, we have a few other cost advantages. So a lot of our services, a lot of our costs is very transactional. So because we're a very lightweight startup, we don't have the 1970s banking system that Barclays does. We don't have the huge data warehouses. We don't have any of those sort of legacy systems. We can buy a lot of the services that we rely on, so a lot of the ID and the fraud checking, the credit checking. We have to do all that sort of stuff that a bank does. But we do it on a very cheap basis. So we basically buy those services as we need them from credit bureaus like Equifax and Experian. And that makes it a very efficient model. It makes it a very scalable model. So currently we're at very low volumes. to get to break even in the UK, we need 1-2% of the UK market share. We can do that incredibly easily. So the systems we build, you know, relying on other people's infrastructure and other people's hardware, you know, we can scale up to 10 times, 100 times our existing model without really batting an eyelid or having to invest large amounts of money into that business. Deirdre asked me to talk about community, which is something quite dear to my heart. So I'm sort of vaguely responsible for managing the Zopa community, if it's possible to manage a community. I'm not sure it is. The community of Zopa members is really important to us. So we've got 125,000 people out there who have decided that this Zopa thing, this crazy new scheme that involves lending money to random strangers over the internet, is something they're really interested in. And we value that hugely. So if you look at our website, as I hope some of you might have done in the past and might do after this evening, you can see on the top-level navigation, we've got one of our main headers is community. So there's a lending bit, there's a borrowing bit, there's a community bit. I think that is a demonstration of how valuable that is to us. Now, within that community navigation bit, there's the blog, there's some news feeds, and there's a discussion board. Now, the discussion board is something that we talked a lot about whether or not we should put up at Zopa, because as soon as you put up a discussion board, it becomes a forum for all sorts of abuse, mainly aimed at us. So as soon as we do anything wrong, boy, do we know about it. But actually, we've kept that up there, and that was quite a tough decision at times. But that's really valuable, because what we get through that discussion board is a huge amount of feedback on what our members think about what we're doing. So we get praise when we do things right. We get abuse by the ton when we do things badly. And it's also a place where new members of Zopa can go and ask for help. So although we have a great member services team that respond to emails in seconds and wonderful FAQs, whatever, there's still times when a new member of Zopa has questions that he can't find an answer to. Now, what we found is that people will help each other out to an extraordinary degree through that discussion board. And that's a place where really there's a space where people can pass knowledge across. And the last thing that we use that discussion board for, which we've started to do more and more, is to help us with our development. So we're continually trying to create new products and add new things into the site. And what we found is, well, yeah, if we're trying to work out how to do things, there's the traditional way, which probably involves focus groups and one-way mirrors, and it's very expensive and very bad food in the evening. Or actually what we started doing is involving our community. So, for example, one thing we were looking at doing quite recently is changing some of our screens, some of the key screens for our lenders. And we've got a specification document, and we just put that spec document up on the webpage, on the discussion board. And within 20 minutes, we had 25 people commenting on it and saying, oh, I like this bit, and that bit's terrible, and for God's sake, don't do it like that. And that sort of instant feedback is hugely valuable to us as a company, as we're trying to work out how to do this really new thing that no one's actually ever done before, because we sure as hell don't know how it all works. But actually getting our community involved in that is very valuable. Another area where our members help out, our community helps out a lot, is actually in marketing. So particularly on the lending side, this is a very new concept. No one's ever done this before. So nobody knows how to market the idea of lending your money to random people on the internet. So we've got a member get member scheme that is sort of growing in usage, where we encourage people through usage of banners and buttons and HTML code to put links on their blogs, on their MySpace pages and whatever. And we pay a referral fee, a reward fee, to both the person that's doing the referring and the person that comes in. And that's a growing source of members for us. And actually what we found is that, you know, the people that get referred by their friends and family, they tend to be some of our strongest advocates. You know, there's a real, you know, once people get Zopa and really understand how it's working and understand the benefits, they're enormously powerful at selling the benefits to other people around them. So that community for Zopa is really valuable. And actually what we're starting to do is build up a level of trust within that community. So because it's financial services, and financial services is about money, and money's important to people, actually it's been hard. The first year was very hard to build up any adoption at all. We had to establish a level of trust. So actually here's this random company with a funny name and a funny logo offering to take my money and then give it to somebody else, and how do I trust them? Our members, as they've learned to trust Zopa and learned how to use it, they actually spread the word that this is a company that you can rely on. They're not going to lose all your money. How do we fit with Web 2.0? Well, we weren't really built to be a Web 2.0 company. So when we came up with this idea, it wasn't fitting with anybody's particular definition of Web 2.0. However, I think in some ways we are. I think there are parts of the Web 2.0 concept that fit with us. So everyone has different definitions, but Tim O'Reilly, one of his definitions, and he should know because he came up with the phrase, is it's about the internet as a platform. And I think that's very much what we are. I think Zopa is an application that could only have been built on the internet and using that internet as a platform. It's completely inconceivable to me that it could have done a Zopa without having an online version. There is no offline version of Zopa that's possible to build. And But Tim O'Reilly went on to say that one of the things that businesses that succeed in this space will do is leverage network effects. And sort of as I said a few minutes ago, I think that's one of the things we are doing. So building a network of lenders and borrowers in the SOPA site. So maybe we are a little bit Web 2.0. Not hugely, but a little bit. I think the community side of it is also a little bit in that space. So one of the things that we're trying to do over the next 6 months is to create communities within SOPA where people can, say, create their own community, their own group they can lend and borrow amongst that group, and also allow lenders to choose who they lend to based on things like people's location or their jobs or their university they went to. So to be able to say, I want to lend to nurses living in London, and I'll lend to nurses living in London at a lower rate than I'll lend to anybody else, because I think nurses are a good thing. So I think we're getting there with the Web 2.0 stuff. We're probably not a leading example of it, but I think there are elements of our business model that fit in with that. Lastly, very quickly, because I'm probably up to my 10 minutes, bubbles. My view, for what it's worth, we're not in a bubble. There's no way we're in a bubble. So bubbles, whether they be tulip bubbles or South Seas company bubbles or dot-com bubbles, they're always defined by the value of the price of an asset vastly outstripping the value of the asset, which was clearly the case 5 or 6 years ago. But if you look around, as Mike said, there's no IPO mania, there's no day trading, there's no $100 million funding rounds for pre-revenue companies, alas. And there's none of that madness that was around 5 or 6 years ago. And actually, if you look at the businesses that are starting up, a lot of their startup costs are much lower than they were 5 or 6 years ago. So Zopra, in some ways, isn't a great example, because actually our costs were reasonably high to start up. But a lot of the guys that are starting up today, the hardware costs have fallen, the bandwidth costs have fallen, the processing costs have fallen. Look at things like Amazon Web Services. It's fantastically easy to start up a really powerful, compelling business today, much easier than it was 5 or 6 years ago. And I think we've learned. So when I see things like the TechCrunch Deadpool and people going, oh, it's a bubble. Actually, no, it's not. It's just a sign of a really healthy ecosystem. That's a sign of companies starting up and failing. And most companies do fail, and hopefully Zopa won't, but most of them do. So no, I don't think we're in a bubble. I think we're only just getting started. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Dave.
This podcast was recorded in front of a live audience. To find out about future Chinwag Live events, why not subscribe to our free newsletter at live.chinwag.com. Chinwag Live Wobble 2.0 featured Dave Nicholson, Ryan Carson, Matteo Bellucci, Andrew Orlovsky, and Mike Butcher. Audience microphones were wrangled by Kim Ng and Patrick Kamara-Ropita. Door enforcement was provided by Thayer Driver Security of Dartford. Sponsorship was handled by Hugh Evans and Thayer Driver. The commissioning editor was Sam Michel. Chinwag Live was produced by Deirdre Malloy.